Good evening and welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Amy.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step two. Please welcome our panel for the evening, Nathan and Val. I will read the first paragraph on page 44, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Page 44. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope you have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed entirely. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Nathan.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nathan Isaacs. I'm alcoholic.
Hey, Nathan.
My sobriety date is August 16th of 2017. I have a sponsor and I sponsor others, and my home group is the Outlaw Safecracker Group in Richmond, Virginia. We meet Mondays and Thursdays at Reveille United Methodist Church, so come on out and see us. There is so much good stuff in here, so I'm going to try to, you know, keep it to the allotted time. The first thing is this definition of alcoholism that it gives us, because up until this point in the big book, going through it with my first sponsor, some of it I really was not identifying with, but that definition just nailed me. Like, I just threw my hands up. And it was mainly I have little control over the amount you take, because I was never one to try to quit drinking, to try sobriety, because alcohol worked for me. I mean, realistically, the state of Virginia kind of interrupted my drinking and decided I should go to AA. So I really did not, you know, I was not one of those pounding my, you know, fist on the bar. I mean, that just was not my experience. But I couldn't argue. I have zero control over the amount of, you know, over what I take. I have none. So when I heard that, I think I finally started to surrender. And then, you know, if that's the case, I have to find a spiritual solution. And I grew up very religious and thought I left God behind with, you know, the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. So when my sponsor told me, you know, you have this spiritual malady and you're going to need a spiritual solution, I was devastated. You know, I had this mourning period of alcohol when I went through this, you know, through this part with him. Because those are not easy options to face, you know. A spiritual life, I don't want that. You know, isn't there a third option? So I, you know, I was the last person to know that I was alcoholic. And I love, you know, a mere code of morals or better philosophy of life, you know, we're sufficient to overcome alcoholism. I mean, I tried all different things, you know, and it says from wishing to will it. So like I internalized it and I tried to take the actions to be a better person, and it just was not enough. I was never okay. I couldn't stay stopped. When I was not drinking, I was miserable and crawling out of my skin. And then, lack of power, that is our dilemma. People in my adult life always told me, drinking's my problem. If I just don't drink, I'll be okay. And I stopped drinking, I was not okay. So it doesn't say drinking is my dilemma, it is lack of power. I just have this hole in the soul and this need for more, you know, this need for relief. I'm addicted to more and now. But this lack of power, that is my dilemma. And when I read that, I was like, finally, I know what's wrong with me. And I got a lot of relief knowing that. And I was able to open my mind up just enough to allow me to have a relationship with the Creator. And agnostic, as I have, you know, the little bit of research I've done on the word, it's, you know, gnostic is knowledge and ag is without. So I just came into Alcoholics Anonymous without any knowledge of God. And the last thing that I'll say about this is my last sponsor is very big on you will never intellectualize the spiritual life. You just won't be able to do it. I mean, if we think about how precise everything in this world is created, I don't think God just forgot to give human beings the ability to intellectualize him. You know, I think it's by design. I can experience this stuff, and that's what we try to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. So pass it over to Valerie.
Thanks, Nathan. My name is Valerie, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Valerie.
My sobriety date's October 13th, 1992. My home group is the Jay Walker's group in Richmond, Virginia. So this is one of my favorite chapters in the book. And when I first started going through the book and first started going through step two, when I was reading We Agnostics, I really identified with everything that was written in here. It felt like it applied to me specifically. And I, like Nathan, you know, in that first paragraph, they really simplified what an alcoholic is and make it really easy to identify my own alcoholism. At different points in my sobriety, have come up against my own agnosticisms, and which I was shocked by, because, you know, I thought I was such a God lover. But turns out, when the shit hits the fan, you know,
find some comfort somewhere. May not be in the big book, but anyway. But it's, my favorite go-to is the intellect. I love to go to the intellect to try to run my life, manage my life, understand God, manage my emotions, manage the circumstances of my life, figure out the problem, come up with a solution. I mean, I love it. I love things that satisfy the mind. I'm a big reader still, and I love that stuff. I loved going to therapy because, you know, we can delve into my psyche. And I mean, I love it. So this piece about, you know, I'm having to find a power greater than myself. I've got to become willing to find a power greater than myself. When I came here, of course, I was in a lot of pain and things were not going well. And you're a little bit more open-minded to things in that state. And I totally identified with, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis are not easy alternatives to face. So I understand alcoholic death, drunk or sober. I mean, certainly we can drink ourselves to death, but also I understand wanting to die sober, the suicidal ideation. So that's an alcoholic death to me too. Or to live on a spiritual basis. You know, what an order. It's a dilemma, you know, and somebody explained to me what the dilemma, you know, the definition of dilemma, it's like you got two choices, but they both suck. And that's how I felt about this spiritual life, especially sometimes it's hard for me, or has been, when I'm in a tremendous amount of pain, I want an answer now. And I want to fix it now. So to face that I have no answer, and it's still a spiritual way of life in the great, woo, unknowing of God, you know. I mean, it's just, and all my, you know, beautiful spiritual friends, one of them is here tonight who just seems to just have it, and I'm just like, I hate you, I don't understand. Where did mine go, you know? But that's my choice. You know, it's die that alcoholic death or find a spiritual way of life, a new one. And that's been my experience in sobriety too. It's many times I've had to get a new one, had to find some new soil. You know, and the same things apply. It's not that difficult. I just have to let go of what I think I know. When you're sober a little bit, you think you know a lot, but you don't know nothing. That's what I found out anyway. And, you know, they give you that little warning. When I was brand new, that really upset me. But it says, after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. And it's like, are you threatening me? You know, because those are fighting words to me. It's like, whatever. Anyway, but I mean, thank God for, you know, good sponsorship and people taking me through the book that helped me set aside everything I thought I knew, which they ask us to do repeatedly throughout We Agnostics. And this is me too, a mere code of morals or better philosophy of life. I mean, I'm the queen of self-help. I think most of us here are. I had a huge library of self-help books, and I could not live up to them. Maybe. Like, I remember, even in sobriety, too, I remember reading a bunch of Emmett Fox, and I'm like, I'm going to change tomorrow. I'm going to do this Emmett Fox stuff every day, and I'm going to be different. And it's going to be better. And it's a better philosophy. I can treat what's in the book as a better philosophy. And try to live it this way, and not surrendering and asking for the power to do it. And, I mean, that's me. Will these things with all our might. That's me. That's what I do. And it tells me, and it's so true, it never fails. It says human resources marshaled by the will aren't sufficient, they fail utterly. That's exactly what happens. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it's always failed. Now I'm like at the point like, let's fail fast, you know? This is my favorite line in the book. We had to find a power by which we could live. And I don't know about you, but I just don't live well, drunk or sober, without some kind of power in my life. I just don't live well. In every possible way. I just don't live well. So, and I love that they, tell you that we're going to help you find that power. We're going to show you exactly what you got to do. And that's all I got.
All right, we're going to pick up on page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men.
One thing I just want to touch on, just two things actually that we kind of skipped over. This idea of the main object of this book, these steps, these spiritual principles, is to find a power by which we can live, which will solve the problem. I do not get to solve my problems here. If I had the ability to do that, I would do it. You know, I just don't have that power. I've never had that power. You know, it always seemed like I would have to work twice as hard just to get half the distance as everyone else around me, I mean, from a young age. So we don't work on ourselves here. My sponsor made that very clear to me, you know. And then this, the other part, who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? It's this idea, and I'm starting to understand it, like the heart has reason that reason is nothing of. And it's going to talk about that later in We Agnostics, so I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, so I apologize. And I love that that's what this chapter does. Like, I've always had faith and worship and all this other stuff. But again, all we need is just a little bit of willingness and open-mindedness and just open our hearts and our minds just a little bit. And that's all we really need here. And then the last thing that comes to mind is we were talking on the car right here. Like, I don't know why I was able to stay sober. A lot of people, I hear their stories and they talk about praying and then they never drink again, they never use again. But that just was not my experience. I didn't know you couldn't snort Adderall and go to AA meetings. I was doing that. I truthfully do not know when I was able to stop, but to me it just speaks of God's mercy. You know, I was given this awesome gift when I didn't even ask for it, but I was doing the things that people were telling me to do in meetings. I mean, I was going. I was praying even though I didn't think it was to anything. So God really, from my experience, does not make too hard terms. All we have to do is seek. And this, my first home group, this old timer, I've been around not that long, but most people that I came in with are no longer sober. And I asked this old timer, like, why? Why me? You know? And he was like, you sought God. It's very clear in the big book. We seek God, you'll stay sober. That's all I have.
Thanks, Nathan. We didn't need to consider another's conception of God. When I read the stuff that's in here with my sponsor, the first time, I was not in good shape. And when I was going through this, these promises that are here, I was like, this stuff better be true. It better be true. I mean, because I'm betting everything. And I was like, if this doesn't work, I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to do because I've tried everything else. So the idea that they kept it really, really simple, because I went through a phase where I really was trying to understand God because I really wanted to manage my spiritual life and manage my relationship with God. I wanted to know everything there was to know. I was very uncomfortable in any kind of mystery or unknowing. That stuff, I don't even like surprise birthday parties. I mean, I want to know what's going on. You know what I mean? I'm that kind of a girl. And so when they said our own conception, however inadequate, that was hopeful to me, that I didn't have to have a perfect understanding, that I didn't have to know everything about the nature of God. And my ideas about God weren't necessarily kind anyway. I mean, I thought I had to know and have this perfect, or God wasn't going to help me if I didn't have perfect understanding, if I didn't have perfect willingness, if I didn't pray just right, if I didn't do this stuff perfectly, then I wasn't going to get what I saw in other people. And, you know, there's a lot of comparing to other members in AA and comparing spiritual life and what was happening for them, and why is all this great stuff happening for them and it's not happening for me, and what am I doing wrong, and just all that stuff was going on. So when I came to this piece about however inadequate, and that was sufficient, that gave me a tremendous amount of hope and willingness to just start to try. And I like the other things. I'm reading on the right part, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I like the other stuff that it says too: creative intelligence, spirit of the universe, underlying the totality of things, being possessed by new sense of power, which is good because the power I was running on wasn't going well. And direction. So, I mean, those promises that I'm going to get some power, that I'm going to get some direction. And I needed those things badly. My old sponsor used to say, man, I gave it my best shot and it sucked. I failed. I didn't win. And that's where I was at sober. I'd given it my best shot and I didn't win, and was really struggling. And this is this made sense to me and gave me a lot of hope. This was another place too where I got a little, which was we found God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. When I came to this, I thought God did make hard terms. So, you know, I was reminded that maybe what I'm thinking isn't true. Maybe this is true. And that maybe this would work for me. That the realm of the spirit was broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding, which was in direct conflict with what I believed about the spiritual life, about God, about the man in the sky. I had a lot of old ideas that had to go. And this has kind of opened it up to start to let different ideas in. And I like the qualifier, I just need to earnestly seek. Just earnestly. I can do something earnestly. Most, maybe. Anyway, but it's open, we believe to all men. So, and I believed that. I had to be willing to believe that everything that was written in here was written and that it was true. And I absolutely bet my life and my well-being on it. And, I'm still sober and reasonably happy. I'm done.
All right, we're going to turn the page to 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Yeah, that's and I love how simple that makes it, you know, because the did I believe? No, I did not believe. I identified as an atheist coming into AA, and, you know, I had my upside-down crucifix and all black and all that stuff, and but I would also say that I hated God, and, you know, my sponsor kindly punctured that. I mean, you can't hate something you don't believe in. I was pissed. I did not like that. But all we're asking is, are you willing to believe? And you can even, are you willing to believe that I believe? You know, you hear people say that. So just the willingness is all we are really asking. And again, you know, how do we find this power? That's what these steps and living a life on you know, based on the spiritual principles is all about. I work with a lot of people who, they struggle around this point and they're like, I'm not feeling anything. It's like, well, let's take the rest of the steps and like see what happens. Because it is sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I mean, it took me, you know, 3-4 months of misery to, you know, finally surrender to this. But that is, I mean, it is just so simple. It really is like in Bill's story. It is simple. It's not easy, but it is very simple. So yeah, so as soon as I was willing to, and even in sobriety, because I found myself, you know, I was giving God my alcoholism, and that was the drinking part, you know, not the spiritual malady, which is the real root. And, you know, around a year sober, my sex conduct was a mess and all this stuff. And, you know, I was still withholding what I was going to surrender. And actually, Valerie's last sponsor, Don, I was listening to a talk of his, and he was talking about inviting God to come with you. If you were doing something that might be questionable, invite God, invite your creator to walk with you. And I started doing that. And just listening. And that's another thing. You know, I kept hearing people in AA meetings say, oh, I hear God, I hear God, I hear God. And I very rarely do I hear God. It's a very, I feel it, I see it, you know. But I don't get to manage that. And I remember pretty recently I had just, I can't even put words to it, like the most perfect day. I feel very at home, very comfortable in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and you hear the people say, you know, life was like, you know, they were looking from a window and or a veil over them, and that's what it was like walking around through life. But in AA, it, you know, that goes. And for an entire 24-hour day, I woke up, my first thought was God. I fell asleep, and my last thought was God, and God was with me the entire day. And I woke up the next day, and I was like, why isn't this happening again? You know, what did I pray? You know, I have to, like, find the exact words. It's like a Harry Potter spell, you know? I got to get it just right. But just the willingness, you know, to take the actions. And God gives me what I have, always has given me what I need when I need it. And that's just, I guess, what I needed that one day. But anyways, that's all I have.
Thanks, Nathan. That reminds me of, did y'all ever write down, like, the perfect combination of drinking and, you know, druggy poo so you could get it just right so you could repeat that again? Yeah. Anyway, maybe that was just me. Yeah, I mean, it's so simple. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? So I don't have to have perfect belief. Am I just willing to believe that there's something else? I mean, it's a pretty simple question. My answer has always been yes. When I go through this on my, when I'm being taken through or when I've been taken through. And again, I mean, I'm banking on that me saying yes is my simple cornerstone and that a wonderfully effective spiritual structure is gonna be built within me. And I just, yeah, I don't think I can add anything else.
All right. We're going to go to page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
I love our bedevilments. I spent 10 plus years in therapy, and when I got to the doctor's opinion, restless, irritable, and discontentedness described what I was trying to say in 3 words. Seriously, that summed up what I was trying to say to doctors for a decade. So that described internally how I have always lived. Drinking was the only thing that ever worked for me long term. And then this describes, like, outwardly what me living, you know, driven by fear, you know, this lack of awareness of God. I mean, this is what it looks like for me. I have no personal relationship. I mean, I came into AA unemployed, unemployable, charges pending. Just a mess. Friends were just, you know, walking on eggshells around me. That's the, you know, personal relationships, emotional, all over the place. Being very manic and then, like, on the floor within, like, a matter of seconds. This describes my outward, you know, how I am interacting with others completely. And I have a friend, and I just remembered this. He, you know, talks about, you know, the lack of power, those are the limits. Really, this lack of this awareness of power, you know, because God is, I've always been in the palm of God's hand, but it's just this awareness of it is my dilemma. But this absolutely describes me to a T. And then sober also, you know, NAA. And I find, it's this principle, if you want to get to know God, get to know his kids, my measuring stick to my relationship with God is how I'm treating those around me. The people I sponsor, people in AA, my coworkers, all that stuff. If I'm acting in any way like this, there's something going on. The next paragraph, those are turned into questions. Are you willing to stop doubting the power of God? Do you believe your ideas do not work? And I had to surrender and say yes to both of those. Because from my experience, you know, people that have ideas on how they can manage their life always have, you know, they always try to go do them. Sometimes they stay sober, sometimes not. Thank God I was such a mess when I came in here, because I was willing to do anything that y'all asked me to do. So anyways, that's all I have.
Thanks, Nathan. I love the bedevilments. When I was newly sober, you know, and new with the big book and stuff, I'd be like, the bedevilments. If somebody said something, they were feeling bad, I'm like, you need to read page 52 of the bedevilments. You're an untreated alcoholism. Anyway. this has been me sober many times. One of the things that was pointed out to me is it says human problems. It's not specific to alcoholics. It's the human dilemma. It's part of being a human being, walking the face of the earth, all this stuff that comes to visit. You know, we just think that we're extra special because we're alcoholics. We're delicate flowers, right, Linda? Yes. We are. We're delicate, sensitive creatures. Anyway. But I totally identified with this. When I first went through this, I'm like, what's a longshoreman and what's the Sunday supplement and what are they talking about in lunar reels flight? What? It took me, I'm not kidding, years to understand what that was trying to say. And basically it's saying to have faith in what you don't know. What may come to pass, have faith. So, you know, these guys that are working on a dock, the longshoremen, they get a Sunday paper and it's saying, hey, now we're flying planes. Soon we're going to be on the moon. Because they saw the planes fly, their mind is open to a possibility that, oh yeah, we might get to the moon. It's kind of like I had no problems throwing away 8 tracks for cassettes. I had no problem ditching my cassettes for CDs. And I had no problem ditching my CDs for my iPod. And now my phone and all the fun little apps. And I don't sit there and question it. Like, what is this going to mean to my life? What is this going to make me do? You know, stuff like that, I easily toss that aside for the new theory or gadget that works. I have no problem doing that. So can I take that same kind of willingness, that same kind of open-mindedness to this power that's going to save my life? That they're telling me I've got to come to believe in something here. So can I try to let go of everything that I think that I know about this power? And so I can have my own personal experience with that. Not yours, not his, my own personal experience. And I love, too, that it says solving your problem by a simple reliance, that it's a simple reliance. It's not complicated. I tend to complicate everything. That's when my mind starts to get involved and it creates stories and hurdles and, you know, things I need to do in order to have this reliance. But it's just very, very simple. It's so simple it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense how something so simple could solve the most complicated problems, seemingly complicated problems. And they start in here, and then they manifest out here with this stuff. You know, the personal relationships, job stuff, misery, depression. I mean, I understand misery and depression and sobriety and not making a living or not being, I mean, all of that stuff. Been there, done that many times. And every single time it is, you know, if you're in AA and you drink the AA Kool-Aid, you're basically, you know, on a spiritual path. You've pretty much said yes to a spiritual answer. And every single time that I've run up against myself and here, the answer is always the same about my relationship with the God of my understanding changing in some way and me being changed in some way. But, you know, when everything's great and woohoo, you know, I'm not, you know, when my whatever's not in the dirt, girls don't have one, but you know what I'm saying. never mind. When you're on the floor, you know what I mean? Now I can't even remember what I was going to say.
All right, we'll move on.
Yeah, we'll move on. See what happens when you go down to the gutter.
Judah's gone.
We're going to pick up on page 55. Actually, we were fooling ourselves. For deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we had for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. We can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you.
Yeah, I love all this too. And I love what we agnostics has been doing. I mean, like Valerie talked about the music and, you know, it is just trying to get us to see we are open-minded. We're just not open-minded with the spiritual stuff. You know, we have the capacity for faith, for love, for worship. You know, one thing that helped me out early on is I had faith every single time when I bought a bottle of Stoli, I was going to get the relief that I so desperately needed. I've always had faith. And, you know, again, like, I can't put into words, you know, why I love the things that I love. There is no reason to that. So I love how that's, you know, brought us to this part of the book. And then this idea of, you know, this is deep down within us. I thought of a funny story. That's not that funny. But one time in a pseudo blackout, was convinced my problems were because of my upbringing and my church. They were, you know, fundamentalists and all this stuff. And in a blackout, like, typed a letter that I was going to, like, send to everyone in the church. And I woke up the next morning and saw it and was like, oh, dear God, thank you that I passed out before I actually did anything with that. But anyways, let me see. I may not have anything to say, really. It really is part of our makeup. And it's, my prayers before I came into AA were just, God, kill me. You know, death is not a threat to an alcoholic of my kind. And that, I just saw no answer, no way out, you know. I tried therapy, church, relationships. I mean, I've done everything. The only thing I didn't do was a geographical cure. My last sponsor said, any drunk that's not that lazy will do that. So I'm a pretty lazy drunk, or his sponsor. But that was like probably the only thing that I did not do. But it is deep down within us. And that's the beauty is, so my solution is within me too, you know. If my sobriety, my serenity was contingent upon the outcome of my court case when I'd come into AA, I would have been in trouble, you know. If my sobriety was contingent upon forgiveness from people who I thought had harmed me, I would be in trouble. But it is within us. And I love the second step promises, if you wish, you know. Because again, it's not being that militant. Because, you know, I remember when I came into AA, like my current home group, actually, and Valerie's home group, I hated because they said the Lord's Prayer. It just was too Bible-y for me. But we agnostics, it's really, I mean, it is saying, you know, God either is or he isn't. But it is, like, underneath it, it's very loving in how it approaches this stuff. And then this attitude, you cannot fail. I mean, that's a pretty great promise. I cannot fail with a simple reliance, with just being able to be willing. And then it's this idea of, I think it's in either More About Alcoholism or There's a Solution, but spiritual principles will solve all my problems. So that means all my problems are of a spiritual nature, because it's a, you know, it's my perception, you know. So with that attitude, I'm going to be okay. But that's all I have.
Thanks, Nathan. Yeah, I love these paragraphs. I don't know that I can add anything to it. I mean, it's just so beautifully stated. And I identify with the idea of God, being able to experience God within, because it's obscured by calamity that I've created or that has come to visit by pomp. I know nobody in here knows what pomp is, but I do. Worship of other things. Oh my God, I worshiped everything outside of myself. Money, power, sex, relationships. I worshiped all of that because, you know, they tell you this isn't true in AA, but I think they're lying. You know, that your well-being is not dependent on how much money you have. That's a joke. Anyway, my friend used to say, how much money do you need before you'll finally trust God? How much sex do you need before you'll finally trust God? How much power do you need before you'll finally trust God? I mean, those are really good questions. And those are things that, you know, feel great. And I love power, and I love a feeling of power. So I totally identify with that my relationship with God gets obscured when I'm worshiping those things. That centeredness, that, you know, that feeling that everything is okay, even when you're in the most desperate of circumstances, you know deep down in your core that everything is going to be okay. That's not being obscured, I guess, for me. And I just love how they say it's, you know, the great reality. It's deep down within. It's only there that it can be found. You can, you know, try to think your way through it, but it's within you. And I like the promise, the consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. And like I said, when I was first going through this, I was banking that this stuff wasn't true.
that everything that they wrote, if that happened for them, that that was exactly what was going to happen for me. So, thanks.
All right, we're going to move to the back of the book now. Page 568, the second appendix, Spiritual Experience. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable.
That was the last reading.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and I've been very fortunate. I've had both. You know, a more sudden, you know, but really I woke up slowly every time. And I was pissed when I discovered that Bill Wilson had this like peppermint patty white light experience, you know, the wind from a mountain blowing through him. I was pissed I didn't have that. But anyways, so for me, I was 3-4 months sober, I think, and I was crawling out of my skin. I was made plans to get dinner with a friend, and they cancel on me. So I was sitting in this restaurant alone, and I was just looking at the beer, and it was one of those like Bill Wilson in you know, the Mayflower Hotel type of a story. I didn't know that's what was about to happen. But I really think I took the third step there, and I was already into inventory, but so I kind of just threw out a prayer. I was like, God, you've got to do something. Help me or kill me. And because I was just like full of fear. Everyone is looking at me. I'm eating alone. What do they think of me? What the hell? I'm not drinking. What are you doing to me, God? I must not be praying hard enough. I mean, like what Valerie was saying, like I have to do this stuff perfectly. So I go to a meeting that I wasn't planning on going to, and there's a guy there, and he spoke, and at this time, I was a taker in AA. I wasn't giving. I wasn't being of service. And he spoke, and he was someone that was nothing like me, would never have hung out with. But he drank just like I did. And we started talking about our drinking, and then, we just started talking about spiritual principles. And I was like 4 months sober, not talking to really anyone except for my sponsor and a few other people that like the same music that I like in meetings. After that, I convinced him to go to another meeting because, you know, that's the power. The fellowship is a really powerful thing, and that absolutely held me here. When I first got here, it was just 2, 3, 4 meetings a day. That was the only thing I could do to keep me from, you know, completely going crazy. But we go to another meeting, and he thanks me for talking to him because no one else did for whatever reason. And, you know, he's like, I don't know why you came up and spoke to me, but, you know, I was planning on potentially killing myself. So you speaking to me, I thank you. You may have saved my life. He had 2 failed suicide attempts before. I didn't know any of this. His mother, her birthday would have been that week. She had died. So he just, you know, 2 days sober, just moved there. So I tell that story because it's like we get better when we start being of service to others. And the message that I was hearing in IOP in the meetings that I was going to is like 2 sickos don't make a wello. And you have to get better before you start helping others. And then sponsorship was like, no, it's the other way around. Like, we get better when we start living a life of service. So after he told me that, I immediately woke up and I went into IOP the next week and they were like, whoa, you actually said God? And I did have this profound spiritual experience. But I had to help someone to get that. And that's just, you know, for me, how that happened. And my life has never been the same since. You know, when people get a taste of these principles and start experiencing them, and the best way to do it is go share it with someone else. So the guys or girls that I sponsor, you know, if I take them to a meeting, I'm like, go tell that person what you're doing to stay sober. Sometimes they get pissed and they scream, but that's okay. You can buck and still do it. That's cool. And when they get a taste of it, it is the greatest experience watching that happen for them, you know? And that was, you know, so when we get a taste of this, we run with this. So really our freedom is contingent on our, you know, our willingness to serve. But those 3 things, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are vital all throughout. When I find myself getting blocked off from God, it's because I have some funny ideas. about what God can or cannot do, or I'll give God that, or my favorite is I'll hide from God and, you know, do some shady stuff and, you know, throw up a prayer after it's done or whatever. But so again, I've just started inviting God to walk with me wherever I go. So anyways, that's all I have for that.
Thanks, Nathan. You know, they have William James in there. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that book or tried to read that book. Oh my God, shoot me now. But what's interesting about that book, it's a very heady read, which you think I'd be like all over that, but it was even too much for me. But one of the things that he said, and we see it in AA all the time, is that people having a spiritual experience typically is preceded by, you know, bad stuff happening, a serious crisis, their life imploding, losing everything, serious illness. You know, it gets brought on by some really serious circumstance. So it makes you open-minded and willing to hear something other than, you know, your own chitter chatter. And or that's what happened for me. I mean, when I came into AA, I was in desperate shape. I was willing to listen. And I too wanted to have the magical unicorn spiritual experience and be poofed into spiritual nirvana of perfection and become an AA guru after, you know, one time through the steps. Not all the way or perfectly, but, you know. And that's not what happened. My experience with my Creator, my relationship with the God of my understanding, has been the educational variety, and it has been over time. I have never been able to manage my spiritual life. I've never been able to manage my relationship with the God of my understanding. All I know is that I need that relationship. That's all I know. And all I can do is be willing to show up for it the best I can with where I'm at today and without judgment about what I think that should look like. You know, I think sometimes too, for me, at different points in my sobriety, I've had an idea of what a spiritually fit Valerie should look like. And I had to be restored to sanity around that too. Do I need to stop? Is that what you were saying?
Well, that was thunder.
Oh, that was God.
That was God.
That was God.
He's agreeing with you.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, they say it beautifully. You just got to be willing. You got to be honest and open-minded, which, you know, those sound like beautiful, wonderful principles, but they're very hard to live by. I mean, if you really think about it. You know, am I willing to, if we're going to live by spiritual principles, am I willing to tell the truth when I really want to lie? Am I, will I be honest about what I'm really doing? You know, or am I being shady and throwing up the quick prayer? And trust me, I have done that many times in sobriety. Or called my trusted friend and said, let me tell on myself. I'm not telling anybody else but you, and I have no intention of doing anything differently, but I don't want to drink and die today, so here you go. You take it. You know? But seriously, I mean, it's the spiritual path has been a fascinating one, and finding a relationship with the God of my understanding has been a fascinating, very difficult
rewarding, moving. There's so many different things. I mean, it's a relationship that we have to have. And it's such a personal experience for each individual. So all this stuff that is very true, that's all that it takes. And thanks for letting us be here tonight.
Can I just say one thing real quick?
Sure.
Just one last thing, just on the second step that my sponsor hammered home into my mind was, you know, what we ask of you in We Agnostics in the second step is just open your heart where our Creator is just enough. Are you not so different that this might work for you? And let this power prove itself to you. And that's what I did, and that's what happened to me. So if I can just keep an open heart, we'll be okay, and God will prove itself to us. And that's been my experience. That's all. Thank you.
All right, we're going to pass the baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it did previously. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Jeff.
Jeff, I'm calling.
Hi, Jeff.
West Ghent group, this Wednesday, we're having an anniversary meeting. Starting at 6:30, we're having a barbecue, and you can also, if you can bring a salad or a dessert, that'd be great. And we're having a speaker at 8. So yeah, starting at 6:30, the speaker at 8. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Linda.
Hey, Linda. Anybody else? Rich?
A 101's going to have our half-bursary on the 30th, and we're going to have breakfast and a panel of three speakers starting at 10 o'clock for breakfast, 11 o'clock for meeting, and please come and enjoy with us.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Saturday, June 29th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., did I get it wrong? Is Saturday, is it not, is that not right? Well, somebody announce it other than me. Does anybody else know the right stuff for Saturday of service?
You were
right. I was right. Saturday, June 29th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. is Saturday of service. It sounds dreadful, but it's gonna be wonderful. The new delegate this year is coming here first to give the report from New York. We're going to find out about what AAs are doing. It should be called Information Central. It's going to be great. It's at a church in Portsmouth. I don't know which one. Does anybody?
I think it's feed us.
Oh, yeah. They're going to feed us. There's going to be food. Like, the eating part will be an hour. It'll only be maybe an hour, hour and a half of actual talking and information. And but the food will be there first. It's going to be good. It's a church in Portsmouth. If you really want to know, come and ask me and I'll look it up. All right. All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. Yes. Hey, yes,
hello.
Welcome.
Hello, welcome.
Ron, I'm
Ron.
Hey, Ron,
Hi, Ron. Welcome.
Welcome. All right, right on, yes, and Ron. Literature is available over there. Please see me or any home group member if you would like to buy a book. Everything else is free. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. I'll hook you up. Reminders.
You're
smokers.
A pimp.
What did
you say? Nothing.
Oh. It is the time for comic relief if you want to.
She called you a pimp.
I'm a pimp.
You're
yeah,
a sponsor pimp.
Okay. Purveyor of all
I hope
wonderful
they get to
things.
The recording.
Nobody leave alone tonight. All right. Reminders. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, please thank the panel again, Nathan and Brad.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, 22nd and Colonial. David is ready. David has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page, I could just see it. It was inevitable. On page 164.
Hey, David.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand that. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
We have a nice way of closing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.